Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz, coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, as we jump right into a discussion of the Packers offense, the biggest news from the first on-field practice in preparation for the Jacksonville Jaguars is that Jordy Nelson, no limitations, full go, full bore, as they say. And he told reporters, told us in the locker room after practice, that he will not be held back at all by his knees come Sunday in Jacksonville, Florida. That's pretty good news for Packers fans.
It is, and I understand that Monday was Labor Day, but I mean, they basically should have just had another holiday on Tuesday to commemorate them getting one step closer to having Jordy Nelson back on the field. This is an exciting time, though, and obviously it's been over a year since the last time he stepped onto an in-game situation field, and there's reason for excitement with it. But even more than that, it seems like he's close to, if not already 100%, exactly what you wanted to see after he had that little bit of a hiccup with the other knee during the summer.
Yeah, and I think it'll be interesting to see on Sunday just how much he does play. He doesn't feel like he's going to be held back, but obviously you're talking about a weather situation, could be pretty hot and humid where you need to substitute a lot. And this is a player who hasn't played a full, meaningful game since the 2014 NFC Championship in Seattle. His only preseason action last year was very limited and then obviously getting hurt. So whether Jordy Nelson is ready to go, you know, 70, 75 snaps remains to be seen. He said he's not putting a number on how many snaps he might be available for. Obviously, the Packers aren't going to come out and say, well, Jordy Nelson's only going to play 40 snaps. There's no point in revealing that. But just having him back, the Packers' offense has not actually been full strength, full speed throughout this preseason. We only saw a limited amount of work from Aaron Rodgers in the preseason. We did not see Jordy Nelson in the preseason. Jared Cook was sort of the guy who made the big splash and then the focus on the run with Eddie Lacy. So how much do you think the limited amount of work of the entire number one offense in the preseason will impact anything, if at all, on Sunday?
Yeah, I'm sure there might be a little bit of rust to knock off, and only because as much conditioning and as much focus as Jordy Nelson has put on his preparation, there really is no simulation that you can have than playing 75 offensive snaps or whatever he ends up with, or what the Packers end up with in a game, or how he would usually, you know, see those snaps. So I'm guessing that's the thing that's going to be the biggest sort of indicator of where he's at, is just seeing him get on the field, what kind of rhythm he can establish. If it's anything like what he did when he stepped back into the team periods of training camp, I don't expect to see there to be that much of a drop-off. He came right back in and made a big impact right off the bat.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
It's mostly going to be, okay, you have Jordy Nelson back, you have Jared Cook's addition to the offense. All these pieces, how do they fit into this mass puzzle? And if you're Aaron Rodgers in this offense, I think you also have to take some solace in the fact that the Packers do have six healthy receivers right now that could potentially be used in any number of ways.
So what's the first route reception for Jordy Nelson on Sunday? The hitch, the go, the back shoulder? What are you looking for?
Oh, back shoulder would be, that would be setting the tone.
Yeah, I think it would
back
be.
Shoulder.
Yeah.
I could see the hitch, just a nice quick, easy play.
Get him going. Get the blood flowing a little bit.
Get the catch in there. I think that was kind of what we saw during training camp too, that the first kind of routes he was going out, stop, take a quick pass, turn up field.
Yeah.
So we'll see exactly what happens, but boy, that'd be a nice maneuver if they would go at the back shoulder, just to kind of remind everybody of maybe what the NFL was missing last year.
Yeah, for sure. Well, a potentially interesting matchup for Nelson on the defensive side, number one cornerback for the Jacksonville Jaguars, former Packer Devon House. And, you know, was always a little bit of buzz in the locker room during training camps when Devon House was here that he was the guy who could slow down Jordy Nelson a little bit during training camp practices. And the players in the locker room yesterday were laughing about that a little bit because they like Devon. They respect Devon, certainly. But training camp, when the other team, you know, when the guys on the other side kind of know the playbook and are practicing against the exact same thing every single day, that's a little different than a real game with game planning. I think that was the message behind the smiles there a little bit. So how much do you think we see Devon House matched up against Jordy Nelson, or will the Jaguars kind of rotate and move things around there?
You know, based on what, because I did ask Jordy Nelson a little bit about that this week, and he kind of made it sound like he's not expecting to see Devon House that much, just based on how they've used him in the past. He's typically a left corner, left side corner. Nelson, if you go historically, has been a guy that stayed mostly to the left of Aaron Rodgers. So if that turns out to be the case, unless they start matching House against him, which they did on a couple occasions against top flight receivers last year, I don't know how much we're going to see of them, but it is still a pretty deep secondary. Obviously, Jalen Ramsey, the fifth overall pick.
Yeah.
Do you risk having him take on Jordy Nelson the first game? Prince Amakamara from New York Giants over there has some history there as well. So a lot of different matchups that they're going to be looking for. But as I said in our insider inbox this week, the biggest thing for Gus Bradley's crew is they're going to be keeping their eye on Jordy Nelson. And for the first time in over a year, that's a luxury the offense for the Packers hasn't had.
Yeah, exactly. A defense that has to know where number 87 is. Well, we'll switch gears and talk a little bit about the defensive side of the ball after the break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, we've talked a lot about the offense over the last couple of days. And in the discussion of the release of Josh Sitton, which was the big news on the offensive side of the ball at cut down time, the one on the defensive side of the ball, Sam Barrington, released by the Packers, which sets up the starting pair at inside linebacker to be rookie Blake Martinez and second-year man Jake Ryan. And we had talked about how maybe the Packers were figuring out, you know, what combinations for different packages as far as a pair of guys, whether Barrington would be matched with one guy or another. And the Packers decided to move on from Barrington and turn it over to the two young guys.
If you take away Josh Sitton, he's still on the roster, still the left guard for the Packers. I think there would have been a lot of headlines on Saturday and Sunday about Sam Barrington's release.
Yeah, I think so too.
But because of Sitton, it kind of got put sort of on the back burner. But this was a very interesting move for the Packers, because as much as we want to talk about depth concerns and things like that in the offensive line, it's been very difficult to maneuver an entire season, not just in Green Bay, but in the NFL in general, with two healthy inside linebackers. Now, they do have Joe Thomas as well, and they have confidence in him.
Right.
Carl Bradford is back on the practice squad. But I was thinking that Barrington would have been a nice sort of ace in the hole, even if you start Martinez and Ryan. Now, the Packers know a lot more than I do in terms of their front office. They felt like this was the direction they needed to go, and there might be something to be said for that as well, because now you have two young inside linebackers you can build around, and much like that safety position from 3 years ago, really have completed that renovation and putting a lot of new blood there.
Yeah, two things that I read into the release of Sam Barrington. One, the Packers, in reviewing the film and looking at him, must have felt that he just was not back to what he was before the injury in week one of 2015 in Chicago when he went down. Two, you mentioned Joe Thomas. I have to look at this as a vote of confidence of sorts for Joe Thomas, mm-hmm. because I don't think the Packers would put themselves one injury away from having to move Clay Matthews back inside. All offseason, this has been all about Clay Matthews as an outside linebacker. That's where he's going to start. Yes, maybe for some scheme things and different packages, he may shift to the inside here and there, but it is not his starting point anymore. And you mentioned Carl Bradford's on the practice squad. Boniquez Brown is on the practice squad, another inside linebacker. So I think the Packers are protecting themselves from having to move Clay Matthews back inside, even though it's not necessarily what we thought it would be with Barrington as that extra guy.
Yeah, and let's give credit to Joe Thomas, too, because here's a guy who was very hungry after last season, went into his offseason training, made it his goal that he was going to add weight, added about, I think it was 8 to 10 pounds. He's right in the middle 230s now after playing last year in the mid 220s.
Yeah.
That's pretty small for a linebacker being able to stand in to take those hits. He wants to be a three-down guy. This move, by all accounts, is going to enable him to do that, because even if there's some scheme things that you can do and some changes you can make, like you mentioned with Clay Matthews, they want their inside linebackers to be the inside linebackers this season.
Yeah. And I'm curious to see, as we get into the real games, the dime package. We know that Dom Capers employs it a lot.
Right.
I don't think we're going to see necessarily one dime look from the Packers. The dime look always has the one inside linebacker on the field, but there are the dime packages that have that have the just the one defensive lineman, and you bring the extra safety in. There's a lot of options here, and what I'm curious about is just where they go with Blake Martinez.
Right.
Is Blake Martinez the guy, the inside linebacker, who is going to be on the field every single snap? Because that's a lot to ask of a rookie.
It is, and historically speaking, in that defense for Capers, they've liked to have a veteran in there. As you mentioned when we were talking yesterday about this, A.J. Hawk, when he came in, played right away, but the dime guy specifically in a 3-4 scheme is so important to the entire operation. Now, Sam Barrington, before he left, really credited Blake Martinez, saying that week and a half that he worked with him, is he could already tell he's the best communicator he's ever worked with. The kid's on top of everything, really has a minute attention to detail, and that I think is going to take him far. But the only question is, you can't replace the experience.
Yeah.
And that's something he's only going to have to develop and learn from. The one positive that Dom Capers talked about, Scott McClurley, the assistant linebackers coach, discussed, that's a guy who he doesn't make the same mistake twice, but there's going to be some mistakes, and that's something the Packers defense is just going to have to kind of pull him through and try to become better for it in the second half of the year.
Yeah, and the thing we have to watch, I think, in the second half of the year, you're talking about a rookie. A college player normally only plays 12 to 13 games, you know, including
right.
a bowl game. Blake Martinez has already played 4 preseason games now. Didn't play those games start to finish, but he's played 4 preseason games. There are 16 regular season games. There's hopefully the playoffs after that. You know, the old phrase about the rookie wall and whatnot. Blake Martinez is a fitness freak. If there's anybody who can blast through the rookie wall, it's probably him. But it is something to keep an eye on as the
totally.
Season goes along.
Yeah, it's what you have to do, and that's exactly what's going to happen with the Packers when you look at Jake Ryan last year, too. They had to be smart with him and how they used him throughout the course of the season. And Blake Martinez, for as much studying as he puts in, got to make sure you're not burnt out, you know, before final exams.
Yeah, well, speaking of burned out, it might be a little hot down in Jacksonville on Sunday, so we're
going to
talk the weather report after the break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, with Packers football, we're used to talking about weather reports in December and January for the most part. This is a rare instance where the weather report in September is potentially going to play a big factor in this game. The high in Jacksonville for Sunday is slated as of now to be in the low 90s. I believe if the kickoff temperature is 90 or above, this will be either tied for or ranked third all time in terms of the hottest games in Packers history. What's your take on the weather factor for Jacksonville, Florida?
Yeah, certainly when you look at Jacksonville in terms of the Jaguars, this is tends to be an advantage for them because obviously they play down in it. Their team is conditioned for it. At the same time, though, I found it very interesting that Mike McCarthy talked this week about Adam Corzine, the director of performance and nutrition for the Packers, did a presentation for the team and in that explained it was only about, on average, about 6 degrees warmer in Jacksonville than it was in Green Bay during training camp.
Yeah.
It was a pretty hot training camp, and it was pretty humid, too, in Green Bay. So they don't feel like it's going to be an entirely huge adjustment. At the same time, I remember going back to 2014 when they played against Miami and hearing a lot of the guys in the locker room, specifically TJ Lang, talking about just how drained they were after that game and how much that heat takes out of you. So I'm sure from a calorie standpoint, there's going to be a lot burned on the field at Everbank Stadium. But at the same time, I think it's going to be really important to keep up that conditioning for all four quarters and understand, you know, hydration and the role of that and importance of trying to stay on the field at all times.
Yeah, perhaps a good thing for the Packers yesterday as they returned to the practice field it was a warm and very, very humid day with storms and everything moving through the Green Bay area. So they practiced inside in the Don Hutson Center, closed up all the doors, and it was pretty hot and sticky, kind of a hot box in there. And the players were talking about it after practice, like, yeah, we were sweating pretty good. So there's nothing you can really do to replicate, you know, 90% or 90 degrees and 60 to 70% humidity, which is what the forecast is. But the Packers are doing their best, but even more so than the preparation, like you mentioned, it's the hydration and getting the fluids in the body and everything to be able to last those three and a half hours in the hot sun.
Yeah, 93 degree high for Sunday in Jacksonville. And I remember myself when I used to play soccer in elementary school and middle school. I wasn't good enough to play in high school. just how much in those summer days that can take out of you. Now, imagine being a pro athlete, you know, and having to give it your all in every single down. So that is where it challenges you physically and mentally. As you said, you can't simulate it. You can't replicate it in Green Bay, Wisconsin. But as Mike McCarthy did, you can make your team uncomfortable. You can take them out of that zone and turn off the air conditioning, close the doors. And that was one thing. As I stood in there for practice, I was uncomfortable, and I was just standing still the entire time.
Yeah, so. Sure. Well, and you look back to that game in 2014 in Miami. Kickoff temperature for that game was 86. I looked it up this week, which ranks kind of just outside the top 10 in terms of Packers history for warmest games. But the fourth quarter, the Packers needed to get a field goal and a defensive stop and then the two-minute drive for the touchdown to win, and they were up to the task. Now, the 2016 roster is not the same as 2014, but a lot of guys were a part of that game and are going to remember what it took in the fourth quarter in order to pull out a close one. And I think the fact that the Miami game in October was just 2 years ago bodes well for this team.
As Mike McCarthy said, they are a lot better prepared this time around for Jacksonville than they were going into Miami. And even though Miami wasn't a picture-perfect 60 minutes, still did enough to get the win. So I think that tells you the kind of advancements they've had over the last couple of years and where they are at mentally going into this opener.
Yeah, for sure. Well, before we go to a break, Wes, we'll take care of a little bit of business here. So picture this, Wes. You and a friend are sitting VIP in plush leather recliners watching the Packers on the 50-yard line at Lambeau Field. Nice picture, isn't it? Well, if you enter Cousin Sub's Best Seats in the House promotion, you and a guest could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style. Two pairs of lucky Packers fans will be chosen prior to each home game for this VIP experience. Enter daily now through December 12th by completing the entry form and submitting. For complete rules and eligibility, go to packers.com/bestseats. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, we ended yesterday's show by talking about one of the four undrafted rookies to make the Packers roster in quarterback Joe Callahan. Another one with a really interesting story, safety Marwin Evans from Milwaukee. And I think other than the fact that he played at what you might consider a high school powerhouse football team in Oak Creek on the south side of Milwaukee, this guy's path to the NFL is about as unconventional as it gets.
It does. I mean, it was two community colleges he attended, Rochester and Minnesota, and then also Highland and Kansas, before finding his way to Utah State. That's really jet-setting across the country. And then obviously, I believe it was where he was in, I want to say it was at Minnesota's camp, came to Green Bay on a tryout and then signed after a tryout. Just a really impressive sort of domino effect that he had in terms of going from Milwaukee, finding his way up to Green Bay now. His nickname is Money Marwin, too, which I didn't know, which is going to set me up well for calling you Money Mike from now on. But
all right, well, here we go.
but all that kidding aside, I thought he had himself a phenomenal preseason, really showed up in the games that counted, and now is one of those six safeties that has been able to make this roster.
Yeah, he had an interception in the preseason, I believe, but we talked about it after the Kansas City game. If there's one play that's going to stand out in my mind from the preseason, it was seeing him take that hit, that sort of sandwich hit on an illegal blindside block on punt coverage.
Right.
And in a matter of a couple of snaps, he was back out there on defense, you know, fighting with everything he had to make this roster. And I think that just says a heck of a lot about this kid.
It does. And he kind of sweated out like everybody on Saturday, wondering if he was going to be able to make this roster. Darren Perry, the safeties coach, eventually called and let him off the hook and let him know he was safe. And it was kind of a funny story. He put down the phone, got in his car, drove down to Milwaukee to spend the night with his family and his mom. If you know anything about his history, you know, lost his father at a very young age. So he has a really strong bond with his mother and got down there, celebrated, got back up to Green Bay, and 2 days later was looking for housing up here. So, I mean, it just shows you how quickly those fortunes could turn in the NFL and exactly how exciting it is, as much as difficult as it can be over cutdown weekend, how exciting it is for the few that are able to make that dream a reality.
Yeah, exactly. And another example of a couple of things that always seem to hold true in Packers training camp, which is if you perform and show the coaches that you belong in the NFL, you will have a spot on the roster. It's not about how many guys are at each position and whatnot. And also, if you show that you can contribute on special teams. Now, we don't know if Marwin Evans, Kentrell Bryce, these undrafted rookies, Josh Hawkins, we don't know if they'll be on the active 46 on Sunday in Jacksonville, but they're on the roster because if they are on the active 46, they know, the coaches know, they can put him in on special teams at a minimum and get a contribution.
Well, I really like Evans' size too. 5'11", 211 pounds, getting my 11s mixed up there. It really has that prototypical body type that you look for in the special teams capacity, a bigger framed, quick and explosive. And I think that's one of the areas that he'll be able to contribute. You look at Kentrell Bryce, a little leaner, about the same height.
Right.
But again, really fast as lightning, can get downfield and make the tackle. And that's where we look at Chris Banjo, Sean Richardson over the years, even HaHa Clinton Dix and Morgan Burnett. That's how they make their biggest impacts.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. Also on Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the Team account. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you next time.